We're going to be in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21, primarily tonight. So if you would grab your Bible and turn there. And just to recap what we looked at a couple of weeks ago, we established a definition for justification, which is God's righteous act of removing the condemnation, guilt, and penalty of sin by grace through faith in Christ's atoning sacrifice. And then we also established that God has ultimate authority, that God acts as the mediator of covenants, and we establish that we have a need, that there is a necessity for our justification. And so those things are all things that we looked at in our class last time. So I hope that if you were not able to see that or be a part of that, you can go back and take a look at that video as well. On our website or on our YouTube channel. And tonight, we're going to look at the obedient second and last Adam, which is Jesus. And so I want to start by making sure that we all understand that there are just two types of people in the world. There are those who are in Adam, and there are those who are in Christ. And so there's not a middle ground. There's not a neutrality. You are either one or the other, and that's what our passage that we're going to look at in a little bit really addresses. And so as we begin, I want to establish some context about what we're going to look at tonight. And so our first major kind of point that I want to establish is disobedience unto death and obedience unto life. So Adam, in his covenant with God in the garden, Adam was expected to follow the commands of God. The commands of God being, rule over the earth, have dominion over the earth, take care of the garden, take care of your wife, and also don't eat from this specific tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam failed. He was disobedient. And as a result, the consequence of his disobedience, his defiance under the covenant, caused death to come into the world. And so his disobedience brought death. But Christ's obedience is what brings life. So that's the kind of the umbrella point of this section. And so to establish the context of Romans going into our passage, Paul kind of begins the letter to the Romans. After his introductions, he establishes that he is not ashamed of the gospel. And the reason that he does that, the reason why that is significant, is because Paul is going to say some things that are going to be pretty harsh and pretty strong. And he's letting people know that he's not ashamed to tell the truth, because of his love for Christ and his care for the reality and the truth of the gospel. And so he goes forth from there and he lays out essentially God's case against humanity, why man is under condemnation. And so he establishes this by starting and saying that everyone is under condemnation because there is enough that is known about God in creation that makes us culpable for not worshiping him. He continues forward, and in Romans chapter 3, he very, famously talks about that there is no one who is righteous, not even one. No one seeks after God. And kind of the essential underlying thing there is no one escapes condemnation. Everyone is condemned. Everyone is condemned. And he establishes this by using the law. He uses the law to establish universal guilt, because the law is what proves our guilt. So the law, speaking specifically of the biblical law, the law tells us what is needed to be righteous before God. The law tells us this is what you must do in order to be righteous. The law also spells out the consequences of obedience and disobedience. Just as a side note, we as Christians are no longer under the law, so we no longer face the consequences of the law in the same way that Israel was, in the same way that God established back then. And so that doesn't mean that we have nothing binding our consciences, but we are not under the law in the same way. Paul in Romans goes to great lengths to make sure that we understand that both Jew and Gentile are condemned in the same manner. And the question that is often raised is, well, how is that fair? The Jews had the law, the Gentiles didn't have the law. How is it fair that the Gentiles would be condemned under the same law that the Jews are, and the Gentiles never even had the law? Think of it like this. Israel had every incentive to keep the law. They had every reason. They had knowledge of God. They had relationship with God. They knew well what the blessings were for obedience. They knew well what the consequences were for disobedience. And yet they still did not obey. They still did not obey. This revealed their hearts, and it revealed the hearts of men. It revealed all of our hearts. It's the same heart that the Gentiles have is the one that the Jews have. And so the thought pattern there is, if those who are under the law are unwilling and unable to keep it, what hope can there be for those outside of the law? Essentially, we have solidarity in our sinfulness because we would have not done anything differently. We would have still failed as Gentiles under the same law that the Jews failed under. Why is that? Because we are in Adam. Because apart from Christ, all we are able to do is sin. And so that leads us into our passage today, our passage that we're going to look at tonight. So let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21, and I'll read the whole thing. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now, the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, so starting in verse 12, we see that death is the common denominator for all people, right? Just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. So there is this consequence of Adam's sin, this death that has come into the world, and it has spread to everyone. It has not just been contained to Adam and Eve. It is spread to all of us. Adam's sin brought death to all of us. Now, the Bible specifically references the fact that it spread to all men because all sinned. It spread to all men because all sinned. Now, one of the things that you have to be really mindful of here is that there are places where Greek can be very difficult to understand and translate. Okay, and this is one of those spots. So when it talks about death spreading to all men because all sinned, there's a little bit of kind of confusion there that I want to make sure that we're all kind of on the same page, because there's something that this is saying, which is we have all sinned. But the because there probably is a little bit better translated with this, with an idea of saying that death spread to all men on account of which all sinned. Now, that sounds a little bit odd, but basically what's going on there is this idea that we sin because of the condemnation. There's kind of this cyclical situation going on where we are condemned because we sin, but because we are condemned, we sin. Whereas the nature of which we are in which we are born, one author put it that after Adam, everyone was born over a grave, essentially. When Adam came into existence, there was no death. That was not something that was on Adam's mind, but we are born with the expectation that we are going to die. And so there's this sinfulness that has infiltrated us kind of through and through. And so this death is brought to all of us by way of Adam's sin. Now, this is not just physical death, but this is spiritual death. This is condemnation. And we follow Adam into that sin and death because, as I said, that is our reality as soon as we enter into this world. And so there is an aspect in which we are guilty in Adam, that we are held guilty for Adam's sin. Now, this does not diminish our own guilt. All of us are sinners. All of us deserve condemnation simply on the basis of our own sin. But we are also condemned and guilty of Adam's sin in the sense that we all face that same condemnation that he did. Okay? And there's no exceptions to this. One of the reasons why I think Paul goes to great lengths in the early portions of the book of Romans is to establish that this is not about Jews versus Gentiles, that this is everyone. We are all linked together in this condemnation, because that's how Paul is establishing for the first 4+ chapters of Romans, to say, hey, listen, Jews are guilty, Gentiles are guilty, all of you are guilty, all of us are guilty. And Paul here in Romans 5 continues on and says, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. So that's another segment that is a little bit confusing, where it says, you know, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law, yet death still reigned. So what Paul is essentially saying here is this: under the law, there are specific things that we should do and should not do. And so once the law entered in and the Jews were under the law, that disobedience was counted against them as transgression. Okay, specifically as transgression, which is a violation, a direct violation of God's command. Okay, so there's sin and then there's transgression, and they are linked together, but they're not the same. And so sinning against God is not necessarily the same thing as transgression. Okay, and that's why in verse 14, it specifically talks about sinning was not like the transgression of Adam. Okay, so sin is not being counted against them in the sense of transgression, because there is no law that they are sinning against. However, in Romans chapter 1, Paul specifically talks about how that we should be worshiping God based on the things that are clearly seen in creation, and we're not. So we are guilty of sin simply based on that. Okay. And so he's saying, look, death still reigned, even though there was no law, even though sin was not counted in the sense of transgressions, death still reigned. So that condemnation that we are under in Adam still reigned over humanity because of that guilt that we all have in Adam. And he establishes this even further by talking about how Adam is a type of the one who was to come. Okay, so Paul here is seeking to establish for us a link between Adam and Jesus. And so when we think about a type in biblical terms, a type is something, a person, a place, an event that points to something else, another person, place, or event that will come along and fulfill that or bring that to some sort of completion. Okay, so think about the Exodus, right? The Exodus, the Israelites were brought out of Egypt. That is a type of salvation. It is pointing to the salvation that we have in Christ. Noah's Ark is a type of salvation where these people are seen as righteous by God, and they are saved from this certain death and brought forth into a new life. The temple is a type. It points to Christ's priesthood and his sacrifice for sin. So what is happening here is Paul is saying Adam is a type of Christ. He is a type of Christ. Now, we need to make sure we recognize what kind of type we're talking about here, okay? Because Adam is not a type of obedient man, that Christ is going to come along and be perfectly obedient. That's not what's happening here. What Paul is talking about is that Adam is the head of a covenant, and he is the father of humanity. And so in Adam, we all die. In Adam, we all die. But that is a type of Christ who is going to come and who is going to redeem us from that death, because Christ is the head of a new covenant. So Adam, as the covenant head for humanity in Genesis chapters 2 and 3, Adam had commands that he failed to obey. And when he violated those commands, the penalty was over everyone under the covenant. Okay? So for an example of what this looks like, look at Israel. Okay? The covenant that God had with Israel often was violated by the kings of Israel. And because it was violated by the kings of Israel, God punished all of Israel. And you might say, well, that's not fair. But we are represented by the covenant head. So Adam is a covenant head, and Christ is a covenant head. And so because Paul tells us that Adam is a type, we can see that Christ is the head of the new covenant by which righteousness has come into the world. Okay? Now, we get to verse 15 of Romans 5. The free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through the one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. All right, so what we see here is we see the trespass of Adam being held up against this free grace of this free gift, this free gift of grace that is given to us by Jesus Christ. Now, where does this gift come from? Well, if you look down in verse 18, it says, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For by verse 19, for as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. All right, so the free gift is specifically rooted in the obedience of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? So the condemnation came about because of the disobedience of Adam, but the free gift comes about because of the obedience of Jesus Christ. And so what we see is we see that the condemnation is so pervasive and it spreads to all men that we see now the free gift that comes in is even more abundant. Okay, so the free gift spreads to all men, but Christ's gift is even more substantial. It is even better. It is even bigger. It is more significant. Why? Well, because it gives us more than simply forgiveness. It gives us righteousness. See, if Adam had not sinned in the garden, that does not mean that Adam was righteous. It means that Adam was neutral. Okay? He was not doing things that were displeasing to God, but he could not, in and of himself, please God in the fullest sense that Jesus Christ can, that Jesus Christ has. Okay? So what we see there is that we now have the gift of righteousness because we now have justification before God. And then in verse 17, we see this where it says, "For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." See how that works? We take this condemnation that we have in Adam and we set it aside in order to gain this righteousness in Christ. But it's not something that we set aside. It's something that is given to us by Jesus. He takes away the condemnation and gives us this righteousness. And so what this does is it makes us righteous now. Okay? So let's look at together again at verse 19, where it talks about being made righteous. Okay? So that word made there, the Greek word for made that we see, it has to do with position. Okay? It's not a creation, it's appointing of something. So in the same sense that we would say someone was appointed as a federal judge, right? Someone was appointed in that. So we are appointed to be righteous. And the word that's translated as righteous has to do with righteous acts or personal character. All right, righteous acts or personal character. So when you combine those two things together, it means that God views those who are connected by faith in Christ, connected to Christ by faith, excuse me, as having fully accomplished all manner of righteousness in his eyes. Now, this is really significant and important, okay? Because what it tells us is that we could not possibly be any more righteous in God's eyes because of what Jesus has done for us. That is what it means when it says that we have been made righteous. We're not a little bit righteous. We are completely righteous because we have accomplished all manner of righteousness in God's eyes because of what Jesus has done. So we are not simply taken from being sinners to being neutral. We are taken from being sinners to being righteous. We are taken from being in Adam to being in Christ. And so before we can rightly understand justification by grace through faith, we need to make sure that we understand that our justification is Christ-centered, because his work is the foundation for us being right with God. So thinking back over this passage that we've kind of walked through a little bit tonight, the key things that we need to understand. So we need to understand that we are guilty in Adam because in Adam all die. But Christ came and Christ obeyed because he was the mediator of a new covenant, because he is the head of a new covenant where Adam was the head of an old covenant that he failed in. Christ came as the head of a new covenant that he perfectly obeyed in. And he gave us that righteousness in his death and his burial and his resurrection. It has been given to us. We have been transferred from one kingdom to another, as we see elsewhere in Scripture. Death came through Adam, and justification came through the obedient second and last Adam. And so when we think about how Adam's sin has affected us, we need to recognize that Adam's sin has affected us in the sense that we are all under condemnation. We all face death. That's where that sin has come from. And we need to recognize the reality of the Bible setting Adam up as a type of Christ, where Adam is positioned in this sense of us seeing him as someone who is pointing us ahead to Jesus Christ, that we should not look to Adam as the one who is going to teach us what we should or should not do or be, but that Christ fulfills that role. And so remember, kind of in closing, remember that we are appointed to righteousness in Christ, that we have fully accomplished all manner of righteousness in God's eyes in Christ, because Christ has done that for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy and for the work that Jesus has done. Thank you, Father, for transferring us from the domain of darkness that we are in Adam and bringing us into Christ. Thank you, Father, for the righteousness that we have in him. We pray that you would use us to share the truth of the gospel, to tell people about the righteousness that they can have in Christ, that you can rescue them from being in Adam to being in Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Thank you very much for being here, and I hope you have a good week.